It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for the final week of August 2018. It is the 27th day of August 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. And that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the madcap, multimedia, merry, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. It's just awaiting for you there. Pick yourself out a screen name and a password at HeadOn.live and jump right in. The conversation's fine. Waiting for you, you will find Anatole and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has decided to fold space and become Man Cave. Yes. 88. A lovely 88 today in the Man Cave. Balmy. For out there, I imagine it is balmy. Here in the fabulous Horn Studios... It's 84, and probably considerably more humid than what Sparky has folded space into. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Like I said, we begin the final broadcast week of August 2018. The last day of August will be Friday. That makes things end quite tidily. Then comes Labor Day weekend and the beginning of autumn, and in an election year, the beginning of sleaze season, as if it wasn't already. Now, that's a long weekend. I haven't taken one of those in a while. I'm actually toying with the idea, just toying, with the idea of maybe taking a long weekend myself. I don't know. It remains to be seen. I'll know better the closer we get, but... at present, though, I mean, any plans I might have had for going somewhere are probably busted, simply because it looks like there's going to be car repairs to be paid for. I was out this weekend and driving about and just trying to get away from, you know, turn the radio off, roll the windows down, trying to get away from it. Oh, I can't stand to turn on the for-profit media right now. It's just unbearable. Not to be disrespectful, but, you know, it's just... These stylized professional grief orgies are just too much. You know, maybe someday... Well, now I'm trying to think, you know. They won't do this for Jimmy Carter. Let's put it that way. There won't be a grief orgy like we had for Ronald Reagan... And there won't be a grief orgy like we're going to have for Pappy Bush, or down the road, W, or soon, baby, soon, Cheney and Kissinger. No. Our for-profit media grief orgies are reserved for Republicans. Now, if that sounds shitty, I apologize, but it's based on observation of empirical data. And I was just trying to get it, and so I was wandering around out the Meadow River. It's beautiful in spots. Well, there are spots that are beautiful that have the Meadow River running through it. And I stopped to take some pictures and so forth and posted them on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Just a reminder of how beautiful this place can be. Of course, you know, just many instances, just out of the shot, there will be some sort of degradation or destruction or because Appalachia. But the Meadow River is special to me because my God-fearing Scots-Irish multi-great grandfather was the first white man to set eyes on it, and then he promptly began stealing it because colonialism. But as I was going out the road there, the Meadow River forms a boundary between Greenbrier County and Fayette County and parts of Nicholas County. And I was going slowly down a road when I heard the front passenger side sort of start making a, I don't know, it was kind of like a low ghostly moan, kind of a, and I touched the brakes and it went away. And then I began to go again and accelerate a little bit, and I got it again. Ooh. Touched the brakes, went away. So sometime this week, sooner rather than later, I will probably have the vehicle in the shop trying to find out what that is. And hopefully it won't be more than $2 or $3 million to fix. Oh, well. But anyway, getting closer to the weekend, I will announce whether or not... we'll have a program on Monday, Labor Day. Seems like of all the days to take off, the day that honors labor might make sense. And then again, maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's the day that I should be on air of all days to honor those who have given their lives in sacrifice for a decent life, decent wages, dignified retirement, that sort of thing. And I have to note, and I'm sorry to do it, I was counting on this being the first day of 5 days of Fundraising Free Radio. It's not going to be, because we had three challenges on the table for Friday. One of them got met, two of them didn't. And so over the weekend, we had to deal with the remainder of that, and it didn't get knocked out. Some people tried. Thank you to Paula and Joe. Thank you very kindly to Kenda. And thank you to... Dadgummit. I have to check here. And thank you to Paul. Thank you. That was Friday. But anyway, thank you to those of you who did try. We had 100 and... We took the whole thing down to what we've got to deal with this evening is $120. And remember, if we knock down that $120, that'll trigger Ralph's Trash Fits Walker Stand Challenge for the 8th consecutive month. So 12 people at $10 apiece, 10 people at $12 apiece, etc. But we've got to raise $120, and then we can have Fundraising Free Radio. In the meantime, we have thanks to send out to our subscribers. Thanks very kindly to Libby. Thank you very kindly, Libby. And thanks very much indeed to Kay in California. Thanks very much indeed to Asa. Not Brother Deacon Asa, different Asa. One more Asa, and we've got a fraternity of Asa. Bob is one of the finest broadcasters going. I always learn so much when I tune in. I laugh and I cry. Thank you, Asa. Thank you very, very kindly for that. Moving onward to, let's see. Thank you. Thank you very kindly to Michael in Madison and to Milton in California. And thank you very much to Patrick in Germany. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you to Peter for your subscription. Thank you, Peter, very, very kindly. Like I said, thanks to Kenda, who said, just say no to Super Beats. Hear, hear. And thanks very much this morning to our buddy Robert in Australia. and to Susan in Massachusetts. So those are our subscribers. Those are the partial sponsors of the program. They would be responsible for the they'll be responsible for the rest of the week. It'll be because of them that we can have fundraising free radio if we can just knock out that $120. So that's where it stands. I'm sorry to still be talking about it, and but I wouldn't be if, you know, whatevs. Lee with an appropriate note. So stop telling us if you'll have a long weekend. Agnes will tell you if you have a long weekend and what your plans will be. Lee, do you have this place mic'd? You understand the status far too well. So we'll see. We'll just have to see. Yeah, Ron and Raleigh and I. Ron said, I could just hurl. I had to stop watching the news today. The massive amount of hagiography being put forth about John McCain was about all I could stand. Why is it that when these nasty bastards die, they all portrayed as being such wonderful people? I can't wait to see what is said about Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger when they go to their long home. You know, I probably won't be on air when Henry Kissinger dies. I may go on an 8-day drunk. And it'll be all frou-frou shilly-shally drinks. It'll be champagne and Prosecco and sparkling Asti Moscato and all manner of nauseating stuff. But you know, we're talking about full-on celebration. I ain't gonna be nice about it. If there was any justice in the world, we would take the body of Henry Kissinger and deliver it to the Vietnamese. And say, do with it as you will. But we won't. Instead, we'll have a for-profit media grief orgy. Including maybe somebody like Tom Brokaw. Tom Brokaw was disgusted with Trump today on that program that's my dirty little habit. And announced that... I'm sorry, but when he announced that the President of the United States is the Commander-in-Chief of all of us, I had to throw something. Fortunately, I had a pillow to hand. Let's be clear about something. We have this little pamphlet called the Constitution, and the Constitution makes clear that the only people for whom the President of the United States is Commander-in-Chief is the armed forces. I'm not in the armed forces. Anyone else who isn't in the armed forces, I don't care whether the President's a Democrat, a Republican, an anarcho-syndicalist, or a Pastafarian or a Green. Of course, the Pastafarians have a chance of becoming president long before the Greens ever will. Never mind. I don't care. The President of the United States is never the Commander-in-Chief of the civilian population of the United States. Read the document. This isn't even something that we debate. But there it was. Well, probably a lot of stars for the Commander in Chief of all. Yeah. So I'm. But anyway, Ron says I can't wait to see what is said about Dick Cheney and Henry Kissinger when they go to their long home. John McCain cultivated the press during his career, making them believe he was something he was not. When he was shot down, he was participating in Operation Rolling Thunder, bombing civilian infrastructure in North Vietnam, which, interestingly, is defined as a war crime, I do believe. Maybe even a crime against humanity. His involvement in the Keating Five is being glossed over. He was a mean-spirited warmonger that never saw a military incursion that he didn't want. Neil Simon also passed away. Gave me a lot more pleasure than John McCain did. Oh, yeah. And one of those lines that you just remember down through the ages, it happens in The Odd Couple. The guys are playing poker at Oscars. And they say, hey, Oscar, you got anything to eat? And he goes, Walter Matthau says, I got green sandwiches and brown sandwiches. One of them, Speed, or one of the other guys says, what's the green? Oscar responds, it's either very old meat or very new cheese. That's genius. That's just genius is what that is. And when Felix gets pissy with Oscar, and Oscar says, move the something about the spaghetti, and Felix says, ha, that shows what you know. What? It's not spaghetti, it's linguine. At which point Oscar picks up the plate and throws the whole damn thing into the kitchen in a fit of rage and screams, well, now it's garbage. Yeah, Come Blow Your Horn was one of his early successes, and that's a delightful show. I know our pal Joy played in all three of the I forget what the trilogy's called, but it takes in Biloxi Blues and Brighton Beach Memoirs and the other one. Because I can't remember the other one. But, of course, Neil Simon's passing at least got a mention. You know who's not going to get a mention? And I'm going to give him a mention. Because, arguably, he did a hell of a lot of good for a lot of human beings. Some people may not even recognize his name. Well, Elbert Howard. Elbert Howard passed away at the age of 80 today. No. July, a month ago. It goes to show you something. He'd been ill for a while and passed away in late July, about a month ago. They called him the big man. They also called Clarence Clemens the big man. This is different. He served honorably in the United States Air Force. He was from Chattanooga, Tennessee. When he was mustered out of the Air Force honorably, he was in California. And he decided to stay there instead of going back to California. At college, he met Bobby Seale and Huey P. Newton and Eldridge Cleaver. And in Oakland, California, they formed the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And Mr. Howard became the Deputy Minister of Information. And he was often the spokesperson face for the group. Back in 2004, he was interviewed by the PBS series POV. He was asked to name something people didn't appreciate about the Black Panthers, and he said, people didn't understand what our survival programs really meant. School children's breakfast, feeding the hungry. You know, the Jesus stuff. Those problems helped immediate problems. They were also organizing tools. So, he went to college on the GI Bill and at Merritt College in Oakland, and was arguably despised by God only knows how many millions of white people in this country. But he did as much or more good as any of the other dead people we're talking about today. Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy, chat room moderator. Subject line, ode to McCain, enough. Bob,
Steve.
Sounds great, brother, on the Xbox TuneIn app. You and I are on the same page. In fact, I almost shot you an email Sunday, and I thought, nah, he needs a break from this crap, too. But anyway, it's obvious to anybody that follows the facts that this president has committed more crimes and got caught last week than any sitting president in history. What do the big three talking head network shows talk about? Let's recap Fox News Sunday. Half the show was owed to McCain. The other half, they talked about Trump, but of course they brought some right-wing tool to try to whitewash everything. This week with George Snuffleupagus, again, half the show McCain, the other half talking about Trump and his criminal activity. What I found most alarming was Face the Nation on CBS the whole freaking hour was owed to McCain. Not one word about Trump and his dalliances. CBS trying to be the new Fox? Well, just remember what Les Moonves said. Donald Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS. Meanwhile, Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, this one in New York, the Saffron Stalin. Subject line, he's not my president, period. And so we find ourselves having to have a conversation about flying flags at half-mast. Look, I'm not gonna quibble over over flying the flag at half-mast for McCain. And I'm not going to sit here and excoriate him because anything I had to say about John McCain, I said while he was alive. And I tried to base it on facts. I recognize that, like I said earlier, in instances like this, the best thing, the best person you can turn to, no, it's not God or Jesus, it's William Shakespeare in Hamlet. He was a man. Take him for his all in all. Under different circumstances, I guess he and I would have shared one thing in common. Big fans of the grill and the barbecue. It was said that he could keep 2, 3, 4 going at one time. It was described as having been his sport. Well, there's a redeeming virtue. But, you know, when you're the son of an admiral and the grandson of an admiral and the grandson and the father, or the grandfather and the father, are both named John McCain, and you get John McCain hung on you, guess what you're going to do with your life? Yeah, I'll just say this much. He entered the United States Naval Academy in 1954. I don't think he had a hell of a lot of choice. We're not talking about some octogenarian now. We're talking about an 18-year-old kid in 1954 who's the son of an admiral and the grandson of an admiral. I mean, talk about Jimmy Buffett singing as the son of a sailor, I went down to the sea for adventure. Well, as the son of a sailor, John McCain went down to the sea because that's what John McCain's did. Mercifully, there aren't any more John McCain's to feel that level of compulsion. But the world in which he entered the United States Naval Academy was not the world of the Vietnam that he would wind up fighting in. And having known relatively closely someone of that era, frankly, a lot of his behavior was recognizable. You know, the sharp tongue, the quick to, yeah, all of that. So that's really all there is to say, except for the fact that now we find ourselves all day long watching the White House bumble into yet another petty controversy over flying the flag at half-mast. Now, it's not any sort of an official protocol, but traditions develop, and generally speaking, it has been traditional to keep the flags at half-mast for a senator until the senator's funeral. And lo and behold, a little more than 24 hours after McCain died, the White House ran the flags back all the way up the flagpole and pissed off a shit ton of people. And it was rude. It was just rude. Because you know goddamn good and well when Geezer Disgustus goes to his long home and gets busy feeding worms. Nah, who are we kidding? Even the worms, the only worms that want to eat him have already eaten his brain. We're talking about the spirochetes. But no, the fact of the matter is he'll want the flag at half mast in perpetuity, and the maggots will drape black crepe paper on their car and keep it there for a year. But because of the vindictive petty nature of the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, well, that won't do. And apparently, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini was in no good shape this weekend. Some anonymous reporting coming out of the White House noting that the orangutan spent the weekend losing his mind. That by the time this weekend rolled around, he was shouting and screaming and swearing, angry and vengeful. And in reporting by Gabriel Sherman at Vanity Fair, one former West Wing official said, Trump is nuts. This time really feels different. He spent the weekend calling people and screaming about Manafort and Cohen. Huh, interesting. Breaking news coming from Mark in Florida. Manafort seeking plea. Oh, this ought to be fun. Going to see if I can find any more about that. Let's just check. Hasn't popped on CNN yet, but it'll be interesting to see what the rest of that is. Okay. You mean rolling. Keep them pleas a-rollin'. Right. Okay, here's a link. Thanks, Steve in New York. Oh, this uses the past tense. Interesting. Manafort sought deal in next trial, but talks broke down. They did not reach a deal, and the trial date is now simply approaching next month. That was while the those negotiations took place while the jury was still out, and the one juror was holding out no matter what. So later, earlier this afternoon, after the entire nation, you know, except the maggots, reacted with outrage and to the business with the flag. You know, especially in light of the fact that the chlamydia Claudius has made such a spectacle of himself over kneeling or not kneeling during the national anthem and the flag. The fact that he wouldn't leave it, well, yeah. And I got to admit, it was fun. Gave me a chance. I usually don't waste my breath calling the likes of Shelley Moore Capito, being the Republican lickspittle for Trump that she is. But it was kind of fun to call the office and say, I can't believe, and using all the buzzwords and everything, and you know, it's time for Shelley Moore Capito to stand up for our flag and for John McCain. It was fun. So, all of that. Yeah, I almost forgot something. Yeah. Because all of these encompass a broad philosophical heading. And you know what that heading is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know. Morons.
That's right, that's right. You get an extra dose of the Calliope there for this Moran Monday, the 27th day of August 2018. Here we are. Here we are, just bare steps off of the Carnival Midway, where you, behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas, can bear witness to the birthers, the deathers, the birchers, the baggers, the booger eaters, the maggots, the libertarians, Republicans all. Behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, they await you in all their horror, all their shocking reality, everything that makes Moran Monday what it is. Yes, why spend any more time or any more money over there throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls in the desperate hope that you'll get to take home with you a little disease-ridden, itsy-bitsy, teeny-tiny iguana? Why do that? Hurry on over, friends and neighbors, aunts and uncles, moms and dads, kitties and cousins, brothers and sisters. Hurry on over here to Moran Monday. You can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. Yes, for something around 16 cents per hour of programming for a $10 a month subscriber, by golly, we've got them all. And more than all, we have more than we can fill in this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, this Moran Monday tent. There's overflow Morans in the fence out behind. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Come on over. Remember, keep a close hand on wallets, purses, spouses, children, pets. That iguana that you run, one, throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls. And yes, even European-style messenger bags, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh, you will, you will, you will. Goodness gracious sakes alive. You know, one of the things that has made the rounds during the grief orgy this weekend is that moment during the debates in 2008 when John McCain, taking the microphone away from a nasty, vile, bigot, racist, a Republican, disagreed with her assertion that Barack Obama was an Arab. And he McCain was praised for this because he said, "No, ma'am, he's not an Arab. He's a decent family man." Thereby, of course, and the entire for-profit media seemed to be sort of blowing past this in Ron and Raleigh refers to it, the hagiography, blowing past the fact that that John McCain thereby set up a dichotomy between decent people and Arabs. Yeah, I know, but what's particularly interesting. The goddess of irony misses nothing. And so as McCain's patriotism was celebrated, and his decency toward Barack Obama in declaring that he was not in fact an Arab, and you know that would presage something that would happen later on, shortly after Barack Obama became president. You might recall that moment where a proud papa, the father of Rahm Emanuel, declared to friends that as chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel had real power and real access, and said to his friends, it's not like he's some Arab scrubbing the floor. Never mind. But the goddess of irony doesn't miss much. So here we have, from a video posted early this morning, and I don't know where in America it's taking place, or took place, but I can tell you this much. A big old pale white lady is at the counter of what appears to be a convenience store, and she is completing her transaction. Let's join it in progress, shall we? Now she takes her bag. The clerk, who appears to be from, you know, he hails, or his family hails from somewhere on the subcontinent, and he's working at a 7-Eleven or a Rippy Mart of some sort there. He hands the lady her merchandise and goes about his business, and she picks up her bag and prepares to leave.
Fucking Allah. Allah. You fucking Muslim.
I guess that noble gesture by John McCain back in 2008 didn't quite have the force and effect that maybe some members of the for-profit media hope that it had. No. Because, you know, after he told her that, no, Barack Obama was not an Arab, that in fact he was a decent family man, because there aren't any decent family men who are Arabs, well, a certain little somebody sitting in perhaps a penthouse on Fifth Avenue in New York realized that there was gold in that there bigotry. And shortly thereafter, he would begin his birther conspiracy movement. We're talking, of course, about Marcus Aurelius. It was only a year and a half or so, maybe 2 years, before that moment in 2008 when John McCain made his remark. It was only a couple of years before that the sexual Vietnam survivor was humping and rutting and sweating away and grunting on top of a Playboy model, telling her things like, "You were great, you remind me of Ivanka," then had to, 10 years later, pay her off in a felony that his lawyer has recently pled to and implicated him in. Yeah, that was not that, you know, our better angels didn't quite get the win in that situation. No. And you just know how that woman votes now, don't you? Sure we do. Absolutely we do. So we haven't quite made the, or you know, maybe John McCain's effort just wasn't quite what the country, it wasn't quite, you know, strong enough to be what the country needed. I know. Talking about Trump spending the weekend cursing and screaming and shouting and carrying on. Screaming and cursing, says Jeff from Hill Hole, Indiana. I find that hard to believe of such a moral man anointed by God to make Merca great again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lee in New York, in regard to the flag business. For Donald Trump, the only flags he cares about are the ones that help him find where each of those 18 holes are. Oh, that's good. And he never kneels. Well, he used to kneel, probably, in front of those flags, you know, when he was lining up a putt, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, there was a little something else that transpired this weekend that brought out the morons. I'm talking about the shooting at Jacksonville Landing, in which a young white guy with easy access to firearms lost in a video game tournament for Madden NFL. You know, you can make big money now, I guess, playing video games. Sooner or later, it would have to be monetized that way. I mean, capitalism. And so they were having one of the regional tournaments. I think it was the Southeast Regional there at the... And there's a video game bar parlor in the Jacksonville Landing, which is a mall right there on the waterfront in Jacksonville. And when he lost... he got pissed off. And so he went out to his car and picked up his handy Freedom Protector, because you always travel with a Freedom Protector, because you never know when you're going to have to fight off the hordes of the MS-13 ISIS Mexicans. And he brought his Freedom Protector in, and it was one of the more disturbingly graphic moments. There was video released, and because there was a live stream of the tournament showing the games being played, they were broadcasting video games of football. Yeah, I know. And there was a picture in picture of two of the guys playing the game, and of course, you know, they're not doing anything. They're just sitting there with controllers in their hands. But the two guys are sitting there. One of them's a young black man. And the video begins by showing you some of the action. And the young black guy had just scored and gone up like 7-0. And then you see down in the corner the video of him and his opponent sitting there side by side. And then you see a little red dot appear on him. And it kind of wavers around, and anybody who's been around these things knows it's a laser. The black kid was being targeted. And then the feed goes away, but you hear his audio as he screams, what the fuck did he just shoot me with? Well, he shot him with his Freedom Protector. Two people died, 9 or so were injured. Eventually, the kid, who went by the handle Bread, or Sliced Bread, get it? White Bread, high. Turned the gun on himself and saved the people of the state of Florida the cost of a trial. Meanwhile, some firefighters who were at a training were nearby, and they ran toward the danger and began rendering first aid as quickly as they possibly could. But in that video, you can hear the pop, 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 as the kid goes about murdering people. Because freedom. His name was David Katz. He came from Baltimore. He was a skinny, scrawny little guy, 24 years old, and was described as disgruntled. and had apparently said that he felt like he was better than the seeding that he got for the thing. I mean, this is reaching. Our gun problem has reached levels of the absurd, and it's only going to get more absurd. Here's the audio. I guess I should offer a trigger warning. That's not a pun. But this was the real-time audio of it taking place.
Got a lot of good games going on.
It's going to be hard to get them on screen. It's not a tough out today.
Excuse me, not an easy out. Oh.
Probably the 20th time I've heard that, and it's still not okay. It's still shocking. It is still heartbreaking. But don't worry. The National Rifle, I mean Ruble, I mean, no, definitely Ruble, the National Ruble Association was there, right quick, lickety-split, to explain to the nation why that happened. Hint, it wasn't because a young white man had easy access to firearms. It was because the people who were getting shot were, well, doggone it. I'll just let Greg Stinkfield of the National Ruble, I mean Rifle, no, definitely Ruble Association, explain it to us.
If you look at that video, can we play it with the audio up? Because I want to show you
something very, very they're going to do it again.
That gaming video there, if we can pull it up. And I want you to listen to the shots. What I really want is the other video.
Really? That's the part that gets me in this. Now, I played for you the unedited audio. Because the person who was shot, not surprisingly, says, fuck. But over there at the delicate sensibilities of the National Ruble, I mean Rifle, no, definitely National Ruble Association, they bleeped out the fuck, but not the gunshots. That's the level of obscenity that this has risen to. I guess NRA TV is on what? Are they on any actual broadcast networks? Are they on cable anywhere? Because there was no reason to bleep out the fuck if it's all just internet stuff. We say fuck a lot around here. Probably more than we should, but you get the idea. But they bleeped out the fuck, but they let the gunfire stand. And hey, personally, I think Greg Stinkfield wanted to play it because it probably made his tiny todger all toit like a toiger. Every time he hears the gunfire, they're weird like that over at the NRA. But it's what he says about it that's... Hockey puck. If you hadn't guessed, hockey puck.
Here are the shots in the background here. I count 15 of them. But the other video where the cell phone is over the shoulder of the person as they're playing.
There was no way to get out.
Just scroll really through this for one second, because this is so important. Here it is.
How people got out, but a friend who was inside told me that when everything started happening,
if you listen over
the
top, that person doesn't hear the shots.
Just kinda like,
why? Because their headphones are on.
That's right. The person didn't hear the shots because of headphones. How long are we going to allow this headphone crisis to spoil the fun of perfectly good shooters who want to watch people run from them when they begin massacring people. Damn. Really?
This is another example of people not being aware of their surroundings. I heard at least 4, 5, or 6 shots while that person was taking a cell phone video of the game. There's no running for cover. There's not even any looking around. They're still focused on the screen in front of them.
When they should be running for their lives so as to give the shooter a sense of accomplishment. So that the shooter can have more, more satisfactory experience of shooting at people with his NRA-sanctioned Freedom Protector. You got to lead them a little bit. It's no fun. Granted, we've got rules now, thanks to the Trump administration, where you can shoot a mother bear and her cubs in their den while they're hibernating. But really, where's the fun in that? There's no fun in shooting ducks on the pond. It's all about the wing shooting. You got to lead them a little bit. You got to take windage into account and adjust your azimuth and all of that shit. This is how sick the NRA is. They are blaming people for getting shot because they were wearing headphones, because you wear headphones when you're doing this kind of thing in a big, noisy room. I'm trying to see here. I'll bet you even old Greg Stinkfield's got an IFB in his ear. Otherwise, how's he hearing it? You'd have a feedback problem if it was. You get the idea. So I guess somebody could just walk in there to the NRA studio. Oh, wait a minute, that's a gun-free zone, the NRA studios. Could just walk in there and start shooting, and Greg Stinkfield would never hear it because he's got his audio coming back to him in his ear.
As someone is firing a handgun through the crowd. You've got to be aware of your surroundings at all places. I know it's hard when you're wearing headphones, but we talk about this all the time. Whether you're jogging and wearing headphones, whether you're at a video game wearing headphones, if they're so loud that you can't hear what's going on around you, you are living in your own world. That can become deadly. I want to share with you 2 interviews with 2 witnesses who work at the shopping center.
Yeah, never mind. It's the headphones' fault. Mm-hmm. They're not clueless. This is willful evil. To suggest that it's the headphones that create the problem. How about it's the guy with the fucking gun? But no, Greg Stinkfield just assumes that there are going to be people with guns who walk into public places to shoot people. Because freedom. Yeah, headphones, what have you. Let's check in with Wayne Allen Root, shall we? Wayne Allen Root was one of the people who climbed up on the dead back of Molly Tibbetts after her body was discovered in Iowa. And, the fact of the matter is, most of Maggot America used Molly Tibbetts' dead body to claim that somehow or another immigration had something to do with that. Not Wayne Allen Root, though. Wayne Allen Root, instead, looked for the different angle. Mm-hmm. Over on the TV network run by that outfit, Newsmuck, he had, like Greg Stinkfield, he knew where the blame lay.
By the way, I hate to say this because we have freedom in this world, right? She had every right to be jogging. She has every right to be out and about, but I just don't get it. I remember in New York when a beautiful Italian gal went jogging in, I believe, Staten Island. And some guy jumped up, some drunk homeless man jumped up and murdered her and raped her and stabbed her to death. And all I could think of when I think of this is that other case, and I've seen it happen many times, Why are you jogging outdoors? Go get a treadmill, you know, and watch TV and jog. Why are you jogging outdoors where there's a chance some crazy person could attack you? We don't live in a country that's safe. What can I tell you? It's terrible. And why isn't it safe? Because Democrats have an open border. And
I'll bet she was wearing headphones, too.
There's too many bad people coming into the country. Everyone's got to be careful. I jog on a treadmill in my gym. Why are you jogging outdoors? Terrible thing. Give this guy the death penalty and then secure the border and build a wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Because everybody who goes out jogging gets murdered. Why was that woman outside? Why wasn't she inside? Why wasn't she baking brownies or cookies or swabbing the toilet or something like God wants her to do?
By the way, continuing my thoughts from the last segment. You know,
oh, he's not
I
done.
I have a home gym, but you could join a gym. And I work out every day, and I'm on the bike, right? I'm on the bike in the gym, and I'm on the treadmill in the gym, and I'm the elliptical in the gym, and I'm on the rower in the gym. And those four are my life, and I watch TV while I'm doing it, or a movie while I'm doing it. I'm not risking my life. I'm not going to get run over by a car or a Mack truck. And if you're a woman, you're not going to get attacked, raped, and murdered.
Oh, Wayne, we wish you would get outside more often. We so wish you would. We do, believe me.
I don't understand why anybody takes a chance jogging outdoors where you get run over by a car or you could get attacked by some bad person.
Yeah. It's her fault. Mm-hmm. Etche maggot. Stay classy, maggots. Stay classy. Yeah, Steve in New York said the premise here is disgusting. That we should expect to be shot at whenever we're in a public place. Or in the case of Molly Tibbetts, that we should, women should expect to be raped and murdered if they go out running in, you know, the sunshine, in the warmth of a waning summer. Is there a word worse than disgusting to describe these people, Steve asks? Oh, I don't know. Disgusting, revolting, putrescent, execrable. Darcy says, maybe if we sue the headphone companies, we could afford to buy a treadmill. I mean, look, here's the reality. Cold weather's going to be here before we know it in Appalachia. And while I've tried to get out, mow grass, weed eat, walk trails, stuff like that, the opportunities for doing that are significantly limited during several months of the year here. Roughly, December, January, February, parts of March, maybe November. Temperatures start dropping, that kind of thing. My weed eating mowing season, of course, you know, I'm weed eating and mowing in my own yard. I don't just go out running with a weed eater in my hands and stop and do the occasional bank or anything. I don't do that. Plus, I'm a guy, see how they make you think about this crap. You're looking for a better word, Steve. How about evil? You know, you don't have to necessarily buy into ghosts and goblins and spooks and haints and whatnot in order to trot the word evil out. What's that verse from the book? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Yeah, we don't, there's no demons in Wayne Allen Root. Wayne Allen Root is just an evil human being. I don't care if he likes dogs. I don't care if he's got a fuzzy little kitty cat. Anybody that suggests that all of America needs to stay indoors and promote the idea that, because among other things, yes, a horrible thing happened to Molly Tibbetts. Another horrible thing happened to a family that somehow the right wing hasn't been able to bring up because they were murdered by the nice white American daddy. And that doesn't, that doesn't work within their template of all bad things are caused by people with skin darker than a grocery sack. In fact, immigrant crime is as low or lower than citizen crime. And crime generally, despite what the Republicans frighteningly believe, is lower now than it has been in, you know, a generation. But where crime happens, crime hurts and crime terrifies. And a person like Wayne Allyn Root, a maggot like Wayne Allyn Root, profits by terror. Greg Stinkfield and the National Ruble, I mean Rifle, no, definitely Ruble Association, profits by fear. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference. The little guy who did the voice of Winnie the Pooh, who possessed the computer system of the Enterprise because he was just this being of evil that went around and actually fed on terror, fed on fear. The Wayne Allyn Roots and the Greg Stinkfields are like that. And as far as the NRA is concerned, fear is a big dollar, a very big dollar. And the Republicans have been feeding on fear for the entirety of this century. And longer. We started a war in Iraq, a war of choice, that John McCain jumped into with both feet. And that war was based on irrational fear. See how it works? Sure. Darlene in Connecticut writes, if Wayne Allyn Root Rot If Wayne Arrow Root Rot, oh, well played, Darlene, well played. If Wayne Arrow Root Rot actually exercises on a treadmill, bike, and elliptical, I'll swing my nail polish right here and now. Put down the nail polish and step away from the emery board, Darlene. Okay, just saying. But I get the point. Yeah, no. And I'm sorry, the mental image of Wayne Arrow Root Rot all hot and sweaty on the elliptical just, ugh, good thing I had dinner early. You know what I mean? But Greg Stinkfield wasn't done. Not content to merely slime people who had the unmitigated gall to put on a pair of headphones and play the game that they showed up there to play without thinking that somebody might come in and mow them down with a semi-automatic pistol. Greg Stinkfield had to move into the realm of fantasy. Well, and fantasizing. Are 900 numbers still a thing? Because if they are, I can imagine, I can well imagine Greg Stinkfield calling a 900 number and saying, "Ooh, baby, tell me about how afraid you are." Yeah. You hear the weed eater? Ferg's outside, picking up my slack. No. Greg Stinkfield fantasized about his favorite Bette Noir might be up to. Bette Noir, not Bette Midler.
As I sat and watched the coverage, refraining from using any social media, as I wanted all the information I could find, the anti-gunners did what they do best. They blamed the gun. They blamed gun owners. They blamed the NRA.
Well, goddamn, Greg Stinkfield! Wasn't it a gun owner pulling the trigger there, buddy?
Doesn't the NRA claim to represent every gun owner in the entire new United States of Merca? Huh? I think you do. And you know, those weren't flint points that were penetrating the flesh of people there at the gaming tournament in Jacksonville, Florida. Them was bullets and them was from guns. Well, I, for one, blame the addle-addle.
Even blamed AR-15s, a firearm that wasn't even used in the shooting. Once again, the left and their media henchmen expose themselves as the biased machines that they are.
Expose themselves? Really? Does that get you hot, Greg?
This was a 24-year-old rich white kid shooting up a video gaming tournament. All the cable outlets went with wall-to-wall coverage. Once again, more ratings gold for the anti-gun media. Meanwhile, other shootings were unfolding. In Chicago alone, you had...
I could have predicted we were going to go to Chicago.
But let's hear him talk about Chicago, because, again, his hands aren't on screen, so you can't see him rubbing himself while he talks about Chicago, because Chicago is a dog whistle to maggots everywhere that means black people.
29 people wounded by gunfire this weekend, two of them killed. You hear that? 29 people shot. The media ignored that story.
Goddamned addle-addles.
As they always do. Liberal reporters who claim to be the voice of the people ignore the people if they happen to live in the hood. It's media racism, and the coverage or lack of coverage thereof proves it.
No, it means that there's really not much you can say about violence in Chicago because Chicago doesn't have a fighting chance. Why doesn't Chicago have a fighting chance? Because even though Chicago tries to put rational restrictions on firearms, they are surrounded, whether it be in Talibandiana or Wisconsin or southern Illinois, by places where it is easier to get a gun than a fishing license. And just by way of example, now, granted, the murderous young white man was from Baltimore, but he shot up a place in Florida. But my experience is with West Virginia. Okay, so just let me tell you what it's like here. Now there was a red dot laser sight targeting on the one young black man who was shot, who was apparently shot first, and. Like I said, it's creepy as hell to watch that dot wandering around his heart. Because that indicated the homicidal intent of the guy with the gun. But you see that red dot laser and you think, well now, that's some pretty high-tech shit. But it's not really. The fact of the matter is, I could, during business hours, I can go to a big box farm retail store over in Beckley, take me about 45 minutes to get there. I can plunk down $350 on the counter, and I can walk out with a 380 caliber semi-automatic pistol with a built-in laser sight. In fact, if I want to, I can also plunk down the money for the ammunition. I can fill the clip. I can put the clip in the gun. I can put the gun in my pocket. And I can walk out. And it's a small enough gun that you won't even see that I've got a gun in my pocket. Really. And then I can walk into a pizzeria, because the thing in Jacksonville was Chicago Pizza, and they used part of their dedicated space for video gaming. I could walk into a pizzeria and start shooting people. I don't want to. I find that, no. But that's what, and we're talking about Florida, so I don't know if he brought his gun with him from Baltimore, or if somehow or another he got his hands on one in Florida. But there were multiple shots. And of those multiple shots, out of the, well, two people died, nine people were injured. That's 11 out of like 15 shots. And he killed himself. So 12 out of 15 with three kills. Well, there are video games where you could probably get bonus noogies for that. But we talk about video games and we talk about headphones. And Greg Stinkfield masturbates thinking about Chicago. Jesus Christ, these people are sick. So it was Jacksonville's turn. Jacksonville showed up on the NRA roulette wheel of death. And in Florida, they have no interest whatsoever in doing anything about firearms. And in point of fact, there was Geezer Disgustus today tweeting about the guy running for the Republican nomination for governor in Florida. And I'm sure that that guy doesn't think anybody has enough guns. Well, at least that guy doesn't think any white people have enough guns. And maybe members of the Cuban community in South Florida, because they vote Republican. Mm-hmm. And no, it's not racism to not focus constantly on Chicago. It's realism. Because Chicago is at the mercy of Wisconsin, Indiana, and Southern Illinois. And nobody's going to do anything in Talibandiana or Wisconsin about the easy availability of guns. See how that goes? Yeah, I think Ron and the Ron in the sweltering, fetid place that is Ontario for the next few days. Ron says, I suspect from my few minutes in a gym that Wayne Arrow Root Rot thinks the TV in the gym should be tuned to Fox News. Well, no, he'd rather it be tuned to Newsmax TV so that he can watch himself, but I get your point, Ron. Ron added, I've been watching the Trump circus with even greater interest than normal over the past few days. I'd like to think that his little ego-powered spaceship has now crossed the event horizon, and we get to watch his death spiral into the black hole that defines his life. Hopefully. Hopefully he doesn't leave without taking a large swath of his sycophants and Fox News handlers with him. Well, if by black hole you mean prison, I'm right there with you, Ron. I'm right there with you. No doubt about it. Let's see here. Am I missing anything? God, I hate the new Skype interface. Oh, there. Hung like Jesus says, why would any sane person go jogging outside with cars going by and planes flying about? You're just taking your life in your own hands, the logic of these people. There are satellites up there that could come crashing to Earth at any moment. It's crazy and dangerous out there in the wild, empty fields of Iowa. I know. I told you it was going to be an interesting Moran Monday. We're an hour and 15 minutes into the program, and we're still at zero, trying to finish off fundraising for the month of August. $120 to go. 120 bucks to go. I'm really looking forward to having a few days of not having to talk about fundraising. And the sooner that comes in, the sooner I get to shut up. Because I really want to meet Ralph's Trash Fitzwalker Stand Challenge. That's a big deal to me. Okay? So, there we go. The PayPal link is over at headon.live. More emails. From David in South Carolina. Coroner, woman with laser target killed by laser target gun killed by officers. A coroner says police officers fatally shot a South Carolina woman after she pointed a gun with a laser targeting system at one of the officers. Cherokee County Coroner Dennis Fowler says 41-year-old Stephanie Owens called 911 from her Blacksburg home early Sunday morning asking for help. Fowler says that when Cherokee County Sheriff's deputies arrived, Owens had a gun and threatened to shoot them. The coroner said in a statement that deputies tried several times to get Owens to drop the gun, but he says that about 55 minutes after she called 911, Owens pointed the laser target at a deputy, and four of the five officers at the scene fired on her. Fowler says Owens died 2 hours later. State Law Enforcement Division is whitewashing, or investigating, I'm sorry, investigating. Yes. Subject line, guns. Jack in Shreveport says, dumbass forgets about the night-by-night coverage of every freaking shooting that gets reported by the local news, wherever those shootings occur. That's true. Ron in Raleigh says, subject line, funny, where was the coverage of the Chicago shootings on Fox? You mean to tell me that Fox is a liberal outlet because they didn't fucking cover those shootings either? Because they don't give a good goddamn about those urbans shooting one another? Yeah, kind of. Meanwhile, Classy Todd says, we must become accustomed to this Trumpish non-logic when it comes to firearms and fault. The courts are leaning right and Texas is arming their teachers. Hey, Betsy DeVos wants to arm all the teachers. It won't be long before Texas students who get shot in a crossfire will be blamed because they didn't run fast enough or they weren't paying attention in class sufficiently to understand that a shooting's in progress. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Well, but you know, you can believe it because it's America. And the many of the white portion of America is losing what passed for its mind. Meanwhile, Scott, skin color guideline, be advised, effective immediately, discontinue the brown grocery sack metric for all future darker than statements. The revised comparison to be used should now be the shade of Trump's golf slacks. Thank you, Frantic Politicians for Freedom, Incorporated. Oh, P.S., fucking Muslim is a traditional expression of departure in today's red state retail establishments. What a country. Yeah. And, just because it's more in Monday, they've been having having problems getting InfoWars and Alex Jones up on the web. But somehow or another, they're still soldiering through. Well, not soldiering, because, of course, no. Alex Jones wouldn't get anywhere near a uniform. Before we go here, let me check in with Alexander. That white boy, talking about the one who shot up the gaming tournament, is crazy as hell, Brother Kincaid, blaming some goddamn headphones. That bitch is crazier than a motherfucker. The crazy in all these instances is spelled beginning with the words with the letters KKK. Yes, of course, blame the black and or the brown. Any and all times something tragic happens to the precious white folks. I'm so goddamn sick and fucking tired of these senseless racial shit, I don't know what to do with myself. Shit's old and boring now, Brother Kincaid. Pieces of shit. I know. And the thing is, I can deliver the news. I can comment upon the news. What I can't do is say that there's anything even vaguely resembling a solution out there. I mean, the best that the NRA has to offer is that nobody gets to play video games with headphones on or go jogging with headphones on. This is going to piss off the headphone industry. But anyway, back to InfoWars for a minute. Alex Jones was not behind the microphone. Alex, and so, you know, one of the fill-in dudes, in this case, someone by the name of Owen Schroyer, said, this is a little bit of an old story because it goes back to the approach of Hurricane Lane to the island of Hawaii. Hey, Ken, if you're listening and you've got service, just, you know, send an email or a tweet or something. Just let us know you're okay, buddy, okay? I mean, it's a little community here, and we think about each other. But Owen Schroyer, watching the progress of the hurricane, I hope you didn't spit the hockey puck out. This isn't one of those that's going to make you scream. This is going to make you hoot like a barn owl. Oh, let's just go to the video. You can't set this up. You can't. There's no setup for this. This is just any day that ends in Y on InfoWars, courtesy of Alex Jones.
Call me crazy, call me a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to show you right now, from August 9th, an energy wave, or whatever you want to call it, being fired out of Antarctica, split two hurricanes that were forming in the Pacific Ocean about to hit Hawaii. Guys, go ahead and roll that B-roll. So here's the B-roll. Now watch what comes out of Antarctica here as two hurricanes are forming in Hawaii. Boom, an energy beam. See if you guys can just pause it on that still frame so that Professor, boom, right there. See if you guys can, right there. There's the still frame right there. What is that coming out of Antarctica?
I apologize because this is video on audio, I can only tell you that no, there's no energy wave coming out of Antarctica. There's just not. At best, there's a sea monkey coming out of Antarctica.
Splits two hurricanes, and you can clearly tell once that wave or whatever it is dissipates, so do the hurricanes. Let's.
Okay, but see, right now you're thinking, oh yeah, that's pretty good, Bob. It's an energy wave splitting a hurricane. That's some pretty crazy shit, Bob. That's some More in Monday shit, Bob. Oh, but wait, there's more. It's not just any energy beam coming out of Antarctica. Oh, no.
Let's play that one more time so the audience can see it. So, again, this is from August 9th. Two hurricanes forming in the Pacific. A wave of energy splits them from Antarctica, and they both dissipate.
Uh-huh. And they dissipated so much that 4 feet of water ran through the big island of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess we got some work to do on our Antarctic energy beam. At least now we understand why there are monkey jellyfish hybrids in Hong Kong, I guess.
Flash forward to a couple weeks later, it's now today. And yesterday, now guys, let's go to yesterday, same chart, same reading, same radar, same hurricane or a different hurricane now forming to hit Hawaii. And what happens? Another energy wave or beam or what have you comes out of Antarctica. Same pattern, same area of the Pacific, right as hurricanes are set to hit Hawaii. Now, I don't know what's going on here. I'm not claiming to have an answer. I'm just showing you what's going on and asking if this has anything to do.
I'm just asking questions. I'm just teaching the controversy. And, of course, if you're sitting there drinking your chocolate chicken bone paleo nutrition protein beverage, It makes it make more sense.
With the hurricane or perhaps even maybe something going on in the South China Sea with China trying to take it over. So Professor Hamamoto, you've now seen what I'm talking about. You're well-versed on these issues. And again, China and Russia have both been fully public now as far as their weather weapons are concerned, or their ability to control the weather is concerned. They're not so open about it in America.
Yeah, the Russians do it with a missile that's powered at liftoff by a gasoline engine.
America now. But what do you think that is? I mean, am I crazy? I mean, you saw that coming out of Antarctica, splitting these hurricanes. What is that?
Oh, and that's an amazing graphic. I think we've seen a number of the channels on YouTube that show us a different bizarre weather that's been occurring across the world in the United States.
This is allegedly Professor Daryl Hamamoto. I say allegedly because, well, I don't know. Maybe he mailed in the draw the particle beam on a matchbook and became a professor or something. But yeah,
United States. That are listed in YouTube. But in watching that graphic, I'm remembering all of a sudden that didn't John Skull and Bones Kerry, the former presidential candidate against George W. Bush, another Skull and Bonesman, he made a quick trip to Antarctica not too long ago, did he not?
No, you're 100% accurate. John Kerry was in Antarctica, I think it was 2 years ago or less.
I don't know. Was he checking out the hardware or the facility? There are all kinds of different rumors and speculation. And I think.
Yeah, what's interesting is they highlight a New York Times story, the headline to which reads, John Kerry's Antarctica visit highlights a continent and climate policies under threat. What it doesn't say is John Kerry goes to Antarctica to shoot particle beam weapon at Hawaiian hurricane. But it doesn't have to. Because that's part of the stuff that just all happens in the thin gray settlings that slosh around between the ears of people who pay attention to InfoWars and, you know, pass for brains.
They need to be checked out. Maybe John Kerry should be visited by some of our intelligence people. Maybe this would be a good use of the FBI instead of trying to indict President Trump on these crazy charges.
But yeah, these crazy charges. You know, like the idea that he conspired with his lawyer to pay off a couple of sex workers. Because, you know, they're on tape doing that. Well, you know, that tape was probably created by John Kerry's particle beam weapon that he fired from Antarctica and caused them to say what they said on tape, or caused the little bits and bites and pieces and did packets and whatnot there on the MP3 recorder, caused it to make it sound like they were saying that when in fact they weren't. They were probably talking about particle beam weapons being shot from Antarctica.
Maybe the FBI can interview John Kerry and ask him what he was doing down there and what he found out.
Yeah, why is John Kerry going down to Antarctica just a week after the election to discuss climate change?
Yeah, why would you do that in Antarctica? It's melting. Yeah, why? No, really, why? Why? Darlene in Connecticut just wrote in and said he's blaming John Kerry? I've come here to Antarctica to aim my mighty particle beam weapon at a Hawaiian hurricane that won't develop for two more years. Why do they laugh at my mighty particle beam weapon? Why?
Mother.
Hey, we need these little moments. We do. There's real world crazy out there, and by God, sometimes we need a giggle. And sometimes we need to go to the phones. There's someone on the line right now, and we'll check in and see who it is. By the way, I have some news for you, tech news here. We have added a phone line. I did try to get something productive done besides lawn mowing and weed eating this weekend. And we've added a phone line here. I remastered, re-engineered. I'm no engineer. I don't even have a pair of striped overalls and that funny looking cap. But I think we got the stress line back up and running, is what I'm saying. And I'm excited about that. We got the stress line back up and running, and it's good for bringing in folks who can't handle Skype and that sort of thing, and adds one line for somebody to come into Friday on the front porch with who can't manage Skype. Ron in the sticky, humid, sweaty north says, that old John Kerry's a tricky devil, ain't he? Yes, he is. I wonder if the Republicans will ever let John Kerry be a war hero. Yeah, because he was. Meanwhile, Hung Like Jesus says, I know these people well. I used to swim in these circles of esoteric subjects, and they absolutely believe this shit. I'm still a student of all things esoteric, but I grew up and left speculation right where it belongs. Speculation. I know. Remember, I was dipped by the heel in religion and stuff as a child, and I grew up watching Hal Lindsey. So I know a little bit about this stuff, too. Damn, Darlene. You're just rough. Subject line, John Kerry, can't even stay on a bicycle. Well, I mean, George Bush fell off a Segway. What do you want? Lee says, Antarctica and Hawaii, remember, the world is flat for these people. We round-earth people know that the only quick path to Hawaii is bouncing off the atmosphere or just coasting along the atmosphere at one altitude. Other odd science fact is that an energy beam in the atmosphere will heat the air, causing it to expand and then cool and collapse. Some people have a name for that. Thunder. And lightning. Yes. Robert in Australia. Wow, an energy weapon that can travel around the curvature of the Earth. Damn. And it looks like it's a beam? That's at least as wide as the state of Texas. Nobody saw it? Well, it does. I mean, based on what I could see of the video there, Robert, it was... Do you remember your... Okay. Down in Oz, y'all got some Saturday morning cartoons, right? Maybe you got some Johnny Quest somewhere along the way, and somebody would have an energy weapon, and it would come out in a series of little expanding parabolas, and it would go ning, 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 right. Well, that's what the energy weapon looks like that they've apparently tried to cheaply transpose into the weather map, but it just goes ning, ning, and it's little parabolas that get a little bit bigger the farther they are out from the source. Yeah, I know. Albert in Rhode Island says, what's going on with tonight's program? I'm doing the best Moran Monday that I know how to do, Albert. Is the program not going out? Is anybody having a problem getting the program? I'm getting emails from people like they're hearing the program. People in the chat room seem to think they're getting the program. We're talking about John Kerry in the chat room. You don't scare me like that, Albert. Don't scare me like that, please. Let's run over to the phone and see who we've got on the toll free line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Aloha.
Hey, Ken. How are you, buddy?
All right. I heard you the other day talking about us, and I couldn't get to the phone quick enough to call you. And it was like the end of the program anyway.
Well, you know, we like I said, it's a little community, and we worry.
Well, this time we actually had a little worry, and we got hit a little bit by the flash floods.
I mean, I read about 3 foot and 4 foot, 4 feet of water, and I mean, in the course of a couple of hours coming down, my God, what was that like?
Well, it was more than just a couple of hours. Try about 12.
Yeah, but, well, I mean,
12 hours or so.
Yeah, that was a hillbilly couple, Ken. A couple hours can be anywhere from 2 to 100 in Appalachia, so you have to forgive me.
Yeah, we ourselves are all right, but we had some damage. You know, but we're all right. That's the main thing.
Our systems and services up and running?
Pretty much. Yeah, most of the damage was in the neighborhoods, and there's a little damage in town, but most of it's out in the neighborhoods and out on the roads. But you can get to town now and everything.
Yeah, power stayed on.
Amazingly, yes, the power stayed on. There was very little thunder and lightning. It was just heavy rain for like a day and a half.
And not a lot in the way of wind, based on what I saw.
Nothing. We might have saw maybe 30-mile-per-hour winds. We didn't get nothing, and we never do hardly, even when that last hurricane hit us. You know, we can tolerate the wind. It's just the rain, you know, when it adds up and adds up and doesn't go away. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I'm glad the news is good. I've been thinking about you guys ever since they began talking about the trajectory of the hurricane. And I trust you didn't see any particle beams coming through, right?
No, I was just talking to Cindy about that. I was like, if they had have done that, why couldn't they have done it about maybe 2 days earlier? You know, if they wanted to really destroy the hurricane, why not do it before it got to us?
Because, I mean, there's going to be, though everything's relatively okay, Ken, there's going to be a hell of a lot to clean up, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Just our yard alone, we've got days and days of cleanup, and we're going to have to get probably loads of rock to fix the driveway because the driveway washed out. I lost a bunch of my fish. I lost one of my fish ponds. They washed away. Lost a bunch of plants I just repotted. I just repotted a whole table full of bamboos, and they're gone. They just all washed away. But the dogs and us made it, so that's the main thing, you know.
Golly Moses, I've been through.
At least the volcano stopped.
Well, I was gonna. It's been an interesting year on the Big Island, hasn't it? Did the volcano get rained out? I mean, is that what it was?
This has been the wettest year we've had.
Look, you know, you and I both know, even if the maggots and the Republicans don't, welcome to climate change. It's just going to get weirder and weirder and weirder.
All right, some places will get drier and some places will get wetter, and that's just the way it is. And, you know, this place has always been a very wet place, but you can tell the difference in the rain because it comes down all at once now, where we used to have something called Hilo mist, where it just misted every day or night, and so, you know, you didn't have to water your plants because they got misted every night, but you got a little bit of rain every night.
Yeah, that was that tropical paradise effect, right? You know, it never rains till after sundown kind of thing.
Right. Nah, it's not so much of that anymore. But we just wanted to call and say hey and say, you know, I'm definitely listening all the time. I don't necessarily get to call in, but I'm here listening. I love it when y'all talk about the weed too. it's just my subject, you know. I like to get in there and get my reference every once in a while, but I've been so busy.
Well, you know, maybe someday we'll have it legalized, because I'll be honest, I grew up in a different time, okay? Yeah, when I was a teenager, late teens, early 20s, you know, we would occasionally fret about the possibility of getting some weed that had been paraquatted from Mexico or something like that, right? But mostly, you know, it was going to be pretty clean. But, in 2018 in Appalachia, I'm kind of creeped out about weed these days, because you never know when some smartass is going to, run a little fentanyl onto it or something like that, and the next thing you know, you're on the way to the hospital. Because there have been reports of that kind of crap. And in a black market, you know, best guess. Who knows? Good luck.
You said it all right there, black market. Because in a market that's regulated and taxed and everything, you're not going to have that. You're just going to have what you call quality control, you know?
Right, exactly.
That's the whole reason I got into this many, many years ago, so I knew what I was getting was clean, you know, because not just pesticides, but how they grow it with organic versus chemical fertilizer. Organic weed tastes better, and you know, it's just naturally better. So, you know, but yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride this year. You know, right after the volcano, we had some other crazy news, but you know, it's been a kind of rough ride this year.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm proud of your senator, Senator Hirono, for
Maisie.
Yeah, Maisie. Yeah. Yeah, Maisie saying she wasn't going to sit down with Brett Kavanaugh. You know,
hell no.
That was impressive, and if I were out there, I would be inclined to at least write her a note or tweet at her some thank you or something like that. Because that you know, that takes a little bit of courage, you know, even in paradise.
Oh yeah. Well, these guys out here running in a state that is totally blue, and they still can't even run on the weed. They're scared to death to mention weed in any campaigns or anything. We just had a primary election. Not a single candidate even mentioned cannabis in the whole campaign. They're scared to death. I don't know what, but who the hell's keeping them so scared when all other states are like, fuck it, let's go.
Well, I mean, it really doesn't make any sense where Hawaii is concerned, simply because, you know, California, Oregon, Washington.
Yeah. Well, part of it, from what we're hearing, is it's the Japanese mentality. Something about the Japanese are very taboo about weed. I don't know why, how they got that way, but to them, I mean, it's really dangerous to do it in Japan because it's such a bad, you know, such a heavy penalty or whatever. You know, so that some of that mentality transfers over here.
Well, that old school, there's a strain of old school Japanese conservative, and I don't mean conservative like Republican, but you know what I mean.
No, exactly.
And it's very real.
Exactly. I was about to say the same thing. It's kind of like a conservative family values, but it's not conservative. It's a tradition. It's almost like tradition in their way, you know.
If you were talking about Chinese culture, you would describe it as, you know, a Confucian mindset. I don't know where it falls. I don't know if it's Zen or Shinto or it beats me, but.
Yeah, because most of them are Buddhist, and Buddhists don't have a problem with weed or anything. It's just like it doesn't make sense. You know, because for some reason it got very taboo with the Japanese.
Well, I mean, does it just get introduced in the legislature and then die without action? I mean,
nobody's introducing anything. That's what's pitiful. And we're not allowed to do ballot initiatives here in Hawaii or something.
Oh, yeah. You don't have referendum and recall in Hawaii, I'll bet.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, that's because of the late breaking statehood of Hawaii. They weren't going to, because when California, Oregon, and Washington and Arizona and the western states came in, they had all the referendum and recall, and basically back east and especially the federal government doesn't like that stuff. But it's surprising to hear you say that it doesn't even get introduced in the legislature. That's all. I mean, here in West Virginia, for God's sakes, Ken, we're at least introducing it in the legislature, the Republicans and the Baptists, but I repeat myself, they kill it, but it does get introduced.
Right. Right. Because we're still fighting. They legalized medical how many years ago here, and they still don't even have the dispensaries. We've got dispensaries over on Oahu, but we don't have them on our island just because of feet dragging. I don't understand it.
Let me ask you, when they passed medical, Ken, did they pass the banking laws?
No. But they did make it so there's so many hoops that you really have to be almost like a big player to get in. So, and they monopolized it. They only allowed 8 people in the whole state to run a dispensary. So 8 dispensaries for the whole state. Tell me that's not a monopoly.
Well, sure it is, and that's a way of saying we have medical, and then making sure, and we're going to see the same thing next year here. You know, they passed a medical law here, Ken, and then the Republicans promptly screwed it up, because we're going to have medical marijuana in 2019, but you're not going to be able to smoke marijuana.
Right. I remember hearing you talk about it, you know.
Yeah, pills, oils.
I listen to you almost every day, so I hear everything.
And they also can't quite bring themselves to set up the banking laws because they're afraid of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III.
All right. And notice he hasn't done nothing on it.
No.
Have you noticed that? He has not pushed forward at all on it, even after talking about it that one time. He never did push any. He's just trying to appease Trump with the immigration stuff. And other than that, it's weird.
It's almost like it's almost like he enjoys being attorney general and he knows he's about to get canned.
Right. So he's just doing what he can to stay in that, appeasement job. But I hate hearing people having to defend Jeff Sessions. That's horrible. God, I hate that.
Yeah, I know. That's
It's one thing to have to defend Omarosa, but damn, Jeff Sessions. Geez.
Yeah, that's a Klansman too far, Ken.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to hear from you, my friend, and I'm glad to know that things are going well out there, as well as can be expected. And most importantly, I'm just glad to know you're safe.
We're doing our best. We got our own problems, but that's life's life. You can't do anything in this world without knowing how bad the medical system is. If you got anything that goes wrong, because we're dealing with the insurance and all through some other stuff, and it's just it's just miserable. Yeah.
Oh, I can well imagine even. Even paradise lacks a little bit of, life intrudes, I suppose. But thanks for calling.
I just don't understand how anybody could not understand the businesses would be unburdened if we had a single payer system, because then all of a sudden the businesses don't have to pay for insurance, all that. It unburdens business right there. Boom. Economy, boom. Makes sense.
Maybe they don't think it. Because, see, we talk here in West Virginia when we talk about legalization. We talk about the economic multiplier effect to the tourism industry. And y'all don't really need that. Y'all, you've got all the tourists you can handle, right?
Almost. We feel like we do, but yeah.
But I don't know. Being able to sit out on the lanai and blaze up and do so legally and just watch the waves roll in. There's something to be said for that. I think that's a different tourist experience.
Yeah, and it's totally different than the alcohol. You do not get the same type of crazy partying and everything. People want to chill. There's a difference. It's not the same. So you don't have drunk driving and people going all over the place, running from bar to bar.
Oh, no, I could sit happily on a beach somewhere and not bother anybody.
Yeah.
Just contemplate the nature of the universe and be a happy little camper. And I'd have to be dipped by the heel in SPF 50, and it would mainly just keep me from getting third-degree burns. But still, it's the principle of the thing.
Hey. This is one year you could actually come out here and not get sunburned. There's been no sun.
That's a hard lesson I learned a long time ago, Ken. I can get my pink little ass burnt right to a crisp and never see the sun. It's the miracle of ultraviolet rays, There are more sunburns on overcast days than there are on sunny ones, just like there's more wrecks on dry pavement than there are on wet, because people... people look at the sun and they go, "Oh, I better slather," and people see rain coming down and they slow down and they're a little more careful.
Slow down.
Yeah.
It's just like driving stone. Everybody drives stone. Drives about 5 miles under the speed limit.
Right. I remember the bit that Robin Williams did one time. He said, "I got pulled over and opened the window and the fog rolled out like a Colombian sauna, and the cop looked at me and said, 'Where are you going, son? The dentist?'" He said I was doing about 15 miles. Said I was doing about 15 miles an hour and thought I was doing 100. That's how it goes. Well, listen, stay in touch, please, and let us know everything's okay when you guys get threatened by things like that. Or, you know, hell, just chime in any time, Ken. I always love hearing from you.
I will, and thank you for taking the call, and just tell everybody we appreciate everybody at the horn, because everybody's special, and you have the best audience, and, you know, unlike Tom's viewers, and, you know, I get so tired of Tom. He's so naive, but his viewers are all smart. It's like, why didn't he listen to his viewers? But I'll let you go. It was good talking to you, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Ken. You and Cindy have a good evening.
Thanks. You too.
Bye now. Aloha. Oh, I love the aloha part. I do. But, no, seriously, I've been worried about Ken. Because, you know, all you see is the footage of the muddy water running through the island. And it is. This is a community. This isn't a program where the people who spend their time with it are merely subjects for us to deliver commercials to, you know, like it is in the commercial broadcasting world. And so thank you, Ken and Cindy, for checking in and let us know that you're okay. You know, anytime that the shit hits the fan anywhere, if you're a member of the Horn Family Communication, please understand that you're being thought of and you're being worried about. It's downright paternalistic, I guess. But that you know, you're very much on our minds, and check in and let us know everything's okay. Let's go back to the mail for a minute. Robert in Australia, subject line. And, you know, when you see a subject line like this, you know that you're going to... Subject line, dinosaurs on Venus. You remember when people thought there might be dinosaurs on Venus? This was before we knew the surface temperature was about 450 degrees Fahrenheit. What do we see when we look at Venus? Nothing. It's covered in clouds. Covered in clouds, it must rain a lot on Venus. If it rains a lot, the ground must be very swampy. If it's swampy, there must be ferns, because ferns grow in swamps. If there are lots of ferns, there may be dinosaurs to eat them. What do you see when you look at Venus? Nothing. Therefore, dinosaurs. Oh, Jesus! Oh my God. Somewhere the ghost of Aristotle just threw up a little bit in the back of his mouth. And if you see lines on a weather map, it equals particle beam weapons that destroy hurricanes. Exactly. Oh, man. Oh, Robert, you just scored big time. What do you see when you look at Venus? Nothing. Therefore, dinosaurs. You know, from now on, anytime I look at something and see nothing, I'm going to think, dinosaurs! Of course. Mm-hmm. Larry says, now that's some Trump logic, Robert. Yeah, you mean, and going back to West Virginia and weed, you mean no Kona Gold or Maui Wowie in his area legally? Fuck, that sucks. Meanwhile, WV lotion weed, smooth skin, no buzz. Oh, I can't wait. Subject line, engineer. Lee in New York says, congratulations on the new phone line. Obligatory Star Trek reference from Mirror, Mirror. Bones, I'm a doctor, not an engineer. Scotty, now you're an engineer. Mm-hmm. Darlene in Connecticut says, Maisie Hirono is awesome. She's tough and doesn't take any crap from the old white boys in Congress. Many alohas to her. Hear, hear. Scott in San Diego says, the Japanese and weed. Not to rehash. Oh, I see what you did there. Really odd old behavior. But I kind of think some Japanese might well have benefited from a toke or two on a regular basis. I'm thinking such a practice would have chilled out a harsh or two. Pearl Harbor, the start of World War II, kamikaze attacks at the end.
come immediately to mind, just, you know, saying. Rehash. Yeah. Speaking of dinosaurs, experts are suggesting they never went away. Brother Deacon Asa sends a link. I can't wait to see what this is going to say. Yeah, they just got smaller and more feathered, I guess. I think we went over this a few years ago. Let's see. Researchers claim dinosaurs still exist today. We just call them birds. Well, okay. Yeah, there aren't any 17-foot-tall birds with really short arms. Never mind. But that's gonna really take a dump all over the Jurassic Park franchise. The premise of Jurassic Park was that scientists found a way to use dinosaur DNA to bring long-extinct species back from the dead. The reality is much more complicated, but researchers from the University of Kent now say that dinosaur DNA is actually all around us. We just see the animals as part of our everyday lives. In a new paper published in Nature Communications, and this story was published today, yesterday, scientists explain how tracing the roots of dinosaur DNA led them to a wild conclusion. Birds are, in fact, just modern-day dinosaurs. But, you know, under that logic, I guess we're just modern-day... Well, we are modern-day apes. Okay. Works for me. Let's see. Subject line, infusions, and Ken from Hawaii, this courtesy of Pinch Hit Midweek Chat... chat room utility chat room moderator and all-around great guy Steve from Georgistan. You know where Ken's from? Reason I'm asking is he has a strong Baltimore accent. I had to lay down because tonight's infusion really kicked my ass, man. I felt like I just went 10 rounds. I'm listening, and I'm here. I'm glad you are. I'm sorry you're getting your ass kicked, Steve. Dadgum. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but... Thanks for checking in, and man, I hope you get relief soon. I really, really do. Lee, Venus dinosaurs. I think Robert got that from Carl Sagan's Cosmos. Well, maybe, but dadgum, Robert delivered it in fine fashion. Albert says, I heard a repeat of the shooting report plus the Moran Monday intro. Oh, that's weird. The thing looped back on itself? I don't know. But yeah, I'm getting a few messages saying all's good on the stream, so. Whew, yeah. It's about 3 minutes before the hour, and I have happy news. Courtesy of our buddy, the Angry Architect down in Oz. The $120 we needed to raise this evening to finish off fundraising for the month of August and qualify for the Trash Fits Walker Stand Challenge is now only $60. So we got six at 10, 10 at 6, what have you, between now and 9 p.m. And then there's at least 4 days of nice, pleasant, enjoyable fundraising free radio. And wouldn't that be nice? I suggest yes. So thank you. Thank you, Angry. The Angry Architect in Oz. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. So we've got like about an hour in the program left. And, of course, if there's something gnawing on you, hopefully it's not a dinosaur, large or small. And God knows, I hope you're not on Venus. That's hot, 450 degrees Fahrenheit. Jingle in. If you want to try the stress line, remember, named for the gone but not forgotten irreplaceable Bill, Mr. Stress Miller. Well, it's there for you now. Just throwing things around the studio here. It's there for you, and you can reach the program at 304-640-2829. That's pretty memorable, isn't it? 304-640-2829. The other number, of course, 304-574-8178. And then, of course, Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. And toll-free in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, including Hawaii, 844-843-4676. That's 844-THE-HORN, 844-843-4676. But jot down the new stress line number and jump in if the spirit moves you, 304-640-2829. And hopefully that'll get you right in. And well, like I said, Agnes and I tested it extensively. And I remember the last time we were using it, people were saying, oh, I can't hear you or whatever. But it was all, the audio was all good. I checked it on this end, that end. And it worked. It worked for us. So give it a try if you want to, you know, try some, a new way to get into the program. Okay, then we got plenty more morons. No lack of them whatsoever. Kelly Ward comes immediately to mind. She's running for Senate in the primary in Arizona. I guess that's tomorrow? Tomorrow, maybe? Somebody can check the date. I don't have it immediately to hand. But as John McCain lay dying, Kelly Ward, and that, look, I'm just going to have to admit it here. Nothing to do but note it. Kelly Ward, oh my God, what, is from West Virginia. And she's a real Lulu, too. She ran against McCain in the primary in 2012. And now she's running for Jeff Flake's seat, now that he has decided to, was it 2012? Anyway, no, I don't know. She's running for Jeff Flake's seat that Jeff Flake is abandoning because he's tired of being a senator and shooting all those rubber-tipped arrows. So, a couple of days back, a TV reporter from Arizona by the name of Bram Resnick engaged in a back-and-forth on Twitter between himself and a Ward staffer and Kelly Ward, formerly of West Virginia, Jesus, why, herself. And in the process of the back and forth, the staffer wrote, and this is a quote, "I wonder if John McCain's trying to steal attention from Ward's bus tour by announcing his life is coming to an end." Ward primaried McCain in 2016, not 2012. That's my mistake. Now, Kelly Ward's been running around sleazing on John McCain for a while because she is a full-bore maggot. And she's apparently paranoid as all hell. She started a bus tour recently that includes on her bus, no kidding, Mike Pizzagate Cernovich. And there's another tie-in here, because Mike Cernovich was also rose to a certain amount of infamy because of his promotion of the other gate, Gamergate, which was a vicious exercise in misogyny and racism in the gaming community. I remember when the word gaming meant people who went to casinos and played cards and threw dice and roulette wheels and it, but no. Now it means people who play, go to tournaments and play Madden 2019 while trying not to get shot at the same time as wearing headphones. It's Moran Monday, remember? Yeah. But yes, Kelly Ward is mad, or was mad at John McCain, because he had the unmitigated gall
to die just as she was starting her bus tour of Arizona, complete with weird white wing, white supremacist, alt Nazi, whatever the scum is called these days. Yeah, she was savaged for it, of course. Responding to questions about what the staffer had written, she said, "I think they wanted to have a particular narrative that was negative to me." And then she accused the fake news of pushing a fake narrative based on things that she actually said. Yeah, no kidding. Why? Because Moran. Stay classy, Kelly Ward. Hey, at least she's not in West Virginia anymore. I bet you Shelley Moore Capito's sitting around going, "Damn, I'm glad she's not in West Virginia. She could beat my ass here. That's some serious maggot street cred going after John McCain while he's laying there dying." You can't make this stuff up. What else? Well, lots more. Oh, and thank you very kindly. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Miss Karen, little Cletus and little Twiggy. We are now down to only $50 to go to finish August. God, wouldn't that be nice? I'd so like to not talk about this tomorrow. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Even as you're sitting there not feeling good, thank you very, very kindly. Yeah, there's the full explanation. Thank you, Lee. Lee serving as the ad hoc horn research department this evening. The race to replace Senator Jeff Flake, whom Donald Trump almost single-handedly pushed out of the Senate, is very nasty. It features one establishment candidate, Representative Martha McSally, and two Tea Party insurgents, Kelly Ward and pardoned felon Joe Arpaio. Well, how hilarious is that? You've got a split in the booger eater vote. If the booger eaters would all come together, they could probably beat the typical, you know, right-wing Republican. Because I don't really know what establishment candidate means in the Republican Party anymore. That she's got enough manners not to pick her teeth with her toenail clippings at dinner. I mean, that's pretty much where we are now, where the Republicans are. Both of them, Arpaio and Ward, are trying to claim they're the Trumpiest candidate in town. Arizona has a lot of right-wing Republicans, but because two of them are running, they could split the far-right vote and let McSally win, which would result in Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell breathing a gigantic sigh of relief. Yeah, right. James in Illinois. John McCain, attention whore. Yeah, he did that on purpose. How dare you up and die of brain cancer right when Kelly Ward is starting her bus tour? Some people are so rude. Yep. Some Mondays, it's tough to get through without the cheap tequila. Just is. Oh, what else? This is one of those moments that deserves mention. You may have seen this over the course of the weekend, but a woman has begun serving a prison sentence. Her name is Reality Winner. She was a contractor, also a commended Air Force veteran with a top secret security clearance. And she saw that federal officials were actively lying to the American people about the integrity of the election system. Well, 26-year-old Reality Winner of Georgia, who has just started a 5-year prison term, was right when she blew the whistle. She sent the information she had to the news media. And do you know what she blew the whistle on? A cover-up of Russian shenanigans in our election system. Now, I guess the people who are still deeply in denial about Russian meddling in our election system are happy, I guess, that Reality Winner's in prison. Now, many of these are the same people who were deeply offended by the imprisonment of Chelsea Manning and think that Glenn Greenwald's a goddamn hero and worship at the shrine of, lives in the Ecuadorian embassy. Oh, Julian Assange. But I guess they have to be glad that Reality Winner's in prison, because Reality Winner, well, she saw Russian shenanigans. She blew the whistle, and now she's doing five big years for the trouble. As Will Bunch writes over at Philly.com, several key state officials said no one had warned them about the Russian scheme until the leaked memo from the National Security Agency appeared in The Intercept in June 2017. You know, Greenwald's paper. To them, Winner's leak was a form of public service, and both the validity of the information and its seriousness was confirmed last week when the hacking of VR systems and other underreported Russian efforts to gain access to voter rolls was a centerpiece of Mueller's indictment. Because that's something that happened. One of these days we'll probably find out that they did manage to flip a vote or 100. And I don't know what the purity patrol is going to do then. The cuddly, snuggly, huggable, lovable, pooty-poot faction of the bizarre end of the American left. That isn't really even left. Just bizarre. Maybe they'll start listening to Alex Jones. Who knows? Bunch continues, when the indictments came down, the young Air Force vet still sat in a Lincoln County jail cell, Lincoln County, Georgia, awaiting formal sentencing. And what he means is when the Mueller indictments came down. After she decided in June to plead guilty to one count of felony transmission of national defense information, because, of course, they'd thrown the entire book at her that would have put her away for the rest of her natural-born life. That's how that game is played. So she got 5 years, 3 months in prison. She ain't getting out any sooner. And if time served is included, she gets out in late 2022. Won't be able to vote. Won't be able to own a firearm. Because she acted for the good of her country. Among other things, she was the recipient of the Air Force Commendation Medal because she was so good at identifying high-value targets for drone strikes. Well, maybe that'll make it okay for the Purity Patrol to hate her.
And here's the sad thing. There's nobody. Now, while Paul Manafort may damned well get a pardon, maybe Cohen will get a pardon. Who knows who's going to get a pardon? You get a pardon. You get a pardon. You get a pardon. One of the you get a pardons will not be reality winner because she rang the bell on part of what was done to make Donald J. Trump the president of the United States of America. And there is little doubt that she is a political prisoner. So spare a thought for reality winner. We're still waiting for word, speaking of women in prison, still waiting for word on the fate of a woman in Saudi Arabia. We don't know if she has yet been beheaded or not for the crime of speaking out against misogyny and sexism in the serene, noble, high, gracious kingdom of the royal house of Ibn Saud. I guess that's what proves we're civilized. We're not cutting reality winner's head off. It's a mighty low goddamn bar, don't you think? But meanwhile, the Saudis are still good business. And meanwhile, the bombs are still raining on Yemen. You know, bombs that we sell the Saudis. Death is still marching through in the form of a cholera epidemic in Yemen. The majority of the victims are civilians. Many of those civilians are children. But again, selling those bombs and so forth and missile systems and whatnot to Saudi Arabia, and by God, it's a big dollar. Just a quick question. And I don't have the answer to this. Did John McCain ever object to all of our weapons sales to the Saudis? Just checking here. A note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Wait one goddamn minute. David Petraeus passed on top secret info to his fuck buddy and didn't spend 1 minute in the brig? This unfair treatment is getting on my last nerve. Well, David Petraeus he had him a whole bunch of privilege going on. I guess he's a hero now, too. Yeah. But yeah, David Petraeus did that, and didn't have to plead to a felony either. Pled to a misdemeanor, and that's right, never saw the inside of the cooler. God, I hope good things happen for reality winner when she can get out. I can't imagine what it would be like to be caught in one of those moral conundrums. There had to be some courage involved there. Well, and Randy asks the $64 question. How could President Ford pardon President Nixon for any crimes Nixon did in office when Nixon hadn't been convicted? Convicted? Hadn't been charged. It's just a get-out-of-jail-free card. And it was quite disturbing to a lot of Americans back then. But the for-profit media jumped in and said, well, now
We got to do this so our long national nightmare can finally be over and stop that. And so we decided that sure he could. Whatever it took to make Nixon go away, sure he could. And thereby set a precedent that, well, I mean, what do you want? Mike Pence could do the same thing for Donald Trump. All Donald Trump has to do is resign first. James in Illinois says, pardon me. No, pardon me. I hope the moron does pardon Manafort. We take the House and he has claim of self-incrimination for those crimes. He has to talk. Then he gets tagged for lots of state charges. Yeah, that's the thing. Trump is in the little bit of a box. And he's counting on the potential for violence from his plurality of supporters to keep the walls from closing in. Because, see, the maggots don't even have to be motivated by fact. They're a religious cult at this point in time. I saw it with my own eyes. Just on a plain old boring Facebook thread where a maggot was complaining that a voter can't predict what it is what a politician will do after they done got in office. This was on a thread about McCain. And in particular, this was in a thread talking about, how do maggots live with themselves? Because they're all pro-military and pro-killing and pro-war. And yet there was Donald Trump sliming and sleazing all over John McCain. And the maggots were, well, okay, well, I'm going to go vote for him just the same. I mean, I love the military, and I love the flag, and I love John McCain. He's a great national hero. He's a real American patriot. But I'm going to go vote for Trump. And then, lo and behold, the guy gets called on it, and he says, well, you know, you can't know what a president, what somebody's going to do after they've been elected. Donald Trump slimed John McCain with the, I like heroes who don't get captured bullshit in July of 2015. And see, that's a point that we come back to again and again. Some of us, for the sheer schadenfreude of it, would like for the pee-pee tape to be released. Because we're quite certain that it's real. Some of us would like to, not that we want to hear the word, but some of us would like to know that Donald Trump's outtakes from The Apprentice, in which he throws around that particular word like salt over his shoulder, we'd like to have that released. But in neither instance will it change one iota of the attitudes of the maggots. Now, some of those Republicans who know which fork to use with the shrimp, they might be disgusted. But you can't trust them. You can't trust them as far as you could throw them. Because come November of 2020, if Donald Trump is the nominee, and he's got, say, 33, 34, 35% of the maggots who literally would be okay with him slaughtering people in the middle of Fifth Avenue, well, there'll be enough Republicans there who'll say, yeah, he says some things I don't like, and, well, I do know which shrimp to use, which fork to use with the shrimp and which ones to use with the oysters. And he's not my idea of a great man. But we got to keep the biggest liberal since Ted Kennedy from becoming the president of the United States. And that's why I'm going to vote for Trump. Well, who would that biggest liberal since Ted Kennedy be? Whomever the Democrats nominate. How do I know? Well, I can't watch a YouTube video without seeing some scummy ad from some dark money group that refers to Joe Manchin as Liberal Joe. Joe Manchin has never had a liberal moment, not a second, not a scintilla euros in his entire life. But by God, the Republicans are out there. He's a liberal. Why, he saw Hillary Clinton one time and didn't drop trowel and shit all over her. That proves Joe Manchin is a liberal. They're out there. And so whoever is running, whoever is the Democratic nominee in 2020, please don't let it be Bernie. Please don't let it be Hillary. Please don't let it be anybody over 70. Please don't let it be anybody who will be 70 while they're in office. But whoever is the nominee, please don't let it be anybody who'll turn 80 in office. Whoever's the nominee on the Democratic side will be referred to as the biggest liberal since Karl Marx. And Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter. Liberals! And that will make it ever so easy for those good, hard-working, God-fearing, gun-toting, gay-hating white folks in middle America to say, well, I just had to vote for Trump. And the thing is, he only needs 17-18% to add to the 33-35 he's already gotten. Bang! Second term. Just saying. So 26 minutes past the hour, and we got $50 to finish the month. Qualify for the challenge, and have 4 glorious days of no mention of fundraising. Can we do that? Let's see. Okie doke. Let's go talk to Todd. Hey, Todd.
Bob, $50 and a brand new bass boat, right?
Well, I'll hold out for the 50. I mean, you know, the 50's fine. Not much good with the bass boat.
Well,
although, you know, I could be persuaded to sit out in the middle of the river with a fishing pole with a line in the water as long as there was cold beer in the boat.
That's the only reason they go fishing. I mean, some people do.
Well, you know that old saying, you know, teach a man to fish, or give a man a fish and you've fed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you've given him a reason to sit by the river and drink beer for the rest of his life.
There's something to that. They have a new boat landing here. When I see the folks come back, I don't know, they do all kinds of, I think they do drug deals on the river for some reason. I swear I see that. I don't know. Not my business. Anyway, first of all, I'm glad to hear. I know Mr. Miller is really elated that you've got his line back open.
I hope he is.
I know that just I can see him dancing down and going, "Hell yeah, I'm going out tonight." You know, I really hope he is too. And I don't mean to sound. I don't mean to be a detractor, but apparently it wasn't just me, but this overkill with McCain, it was all weekend, and then this morning again.
Oh, it's not, dude, it is not over.
I had enough. I've had enough.
Let's just get this out of the way. I'm beginning to worry about Mika. I think Joe's got her in a pit. Because on Friday he was like, Mika will be back next week, today. You know, then John McCain dies, and it's a big deal, and they got the grief orgy on, and there's no Mika.
She's been crying on set lately. Have you noticed that?
Well, I haven't seen her on set lately. That's the thing.
Okay, 2 weeks ago, because, you know, I shift when I'm up at early, I shift when the commercial goes on, unless it's a really good topic on Washington Journal. I'll be back on Washington Journal or try to listen to both. It depends on what we're doing. But, you know, when they did this, they had this, the schedule shift where he'll do a day, she'll do a day, or he'll do a couple days, then she'll do a couple days.
Right, but they're never on set together.
Not in the past 2 or 3 weeks. Now,
I'd say not in the last month. I mean, I was in New Orleans August the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, and I was getting up and I'd have that on as I was getting ready to go to the convention center and stuff. Maybe I saw them together on set then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I'm afraid.
Okay.
You know, I'm afraid there's going to be a letter with like a joint of a pinky in it or something. I mean, it's just weird.
Well, you know, because I stopped watching them after they filleted Donald Trump to the presidency, and then they turned his back on him, and then I was done with them for a little while. But because you've been watching them for, you know, a longer and more continuous period. Is that banter, you know, where they ignore her, you know, where the guys sit around and do the guy talk and she's trying to, like, be serious? Is that a joke or do they run it into the ground? Is she just pissed off now?
I don't know, but interesting you would bring that up. The boys around the table went into a baseball conversation a week or so ago when Heidi Prisbilla was on there. And she kind of called him out and said, hey, guys, my mic was turned off during all of that. Because I guess the girls aren't welcome to talk about baseball with the boys.
Holy cow. Oh, that's rude.
And they said something like, wow, we didn't know that. You know, what do you think about the Red Sox? And she said, absolutely nothing. I don't give a damn about baseball. I'm here to talk about the news.
She might be on strike. Mika might be on strike. Because I swear, I mean, I know that it's like kitschy and all that, but after like, what, after a year or two, I think she was getting tired of that. I don't know. That's my sense of it. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, she doesn't have a problem being on air with, say, you know, Willie or Mike or anything, but she hasn't been on the same set with Joe in weeks. I remember one occasion where they were on the same screen, but I think he was in D.C. and she was in New York, or, you know, they were obviously in separate rooms.
Now, it seems to me Mr. Scarborough has a dead female skeleton in his closet somewhere, like a secretary or an aide or something. Is that not true?
Yes. But it is deemed scurrilous and improper to bring that up.
If you cannot bring that up in this context, I've never mentioned that before, ever, in public, ever.
But I mean, yes.
Oh, see, you're so delicate. And you know, in Connecticut,
her name was Lori Klausutis.
Klausutis,
Klausutis, I think.
Oh, interesting.
Let me look here.
She sounds blonde.
I think something makes me think she was a brunette. Yep, brunette.
Mm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful brunette.
Okay. Well, she was. Yeah, that's... Yeah,
she was found dead in Joe's office July 21st, 2001.
Oh, shit. God damn. Do you know what happened if a dead white woman was found in my office?
Dead black man.
I don't even know how we got here, but damn.
She was found dead. And the official coroner's result was that she had, like, a sudden heart something or another. Now, she was in extraordinarily great shape. And like she was one of those women that went out running. Now, I mean, you've heard the program, you know, those women that go out running, bad things happen to them. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning on July the 20th when a couple who were supposed to show up at the Fort Walton Beach office of Congressman Joe Scarborough for an appointment found her slumped over next to a desk on the floor of his office. Mm. She'd been dead for a while.
Mm-mm.
Police said no reason to suspect foul play in her death, no outward indication of suicide, no witnesses, cause wasn't immediately apparent. A coroner who had been, like, stripped of his license in Missouri determined that she died of cardiac arrhythmia that made her fall down and hit her head on the desk, which then killed her.
Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. That's bullshit.
Then they did an autopsy and said the circumstances of her death were inconclusive.
That means it wasn't a blunt force trauma from a fall from a cardiac arrhythmia. That's what that means. That means this is all.
Joe Scarborough issued a statement that said, "My staff and family are greatly saddened by the loss of Lori Klasutis. I know Lori will be missed by the thousands of citizens who regularly contact my office to seek assistance with a variety of problems. May God grant Lori's family the grace, comfort, and hope that will get them through this difficult time."
Did they do a rape kit on her?
Don't know.
Well, this whole business about the arrhythmia leading to, because an arrhythmia means you have an irregular heartbeat. That's not going to make you, unless you pass out, fall back and hit your head.
Neighbor Barbara Cromer said of her to a newspaper, "Every morning I would see her run while I walked. We'd wave to each other as we passed. I loved her so much. She was wonderful. She was a kind, generous person. So sweet."
But there was nothing wrong with her heart then. Okay.
Associate Medical Examiner Dr. Michael Berkland said she had a past medical history that was significant, but it remains to be seen whether that played a role in her death.
Well, that's a nebulous statement.
No signs of trauma to her body. Found with a scratch and a bruise on her head. Berkland said the last thing we wanted was 40 questions about a head injury.
Yeah, because it's only an investigation. Who deals with questions in an investigation, right?
Yeah, right.
This sounds worse than I thought it did. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's distressing, but everybody's kind of moved on.
So I'm not laughing. That's just crazy, huh? Ugh. I really did not know those details. I got the hairy eyeball on this one.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get all Alex Jones on it. You know, they had an investigation. The investigation yielded a result, and there we go.
Well.
Now, I will say that it was not met with as much media scrutiny as the white girl who got found dead in Rock Creek Park in D.C., who had been an aide to a Democratic congressman. But that's just how it works. You remember that one?
I do. Yeah. Well, you know, all this stuff is kind of playing out a little bit like the House of Cards, even though we're not supposed to talk about that anymore because of Kevin Spacey and his actions, but with the search engines and it's just interesting how this plays out. But man, Wow, I really did not know those details. Hey, oof. That has a stink about it. Know about that.
And she was married. So it's not like there's, you know. But nobody was ever charged. And yet, darn, these things happen. You know, one day you're standing there in the office and you're in perfect physical condition and you have a heart arrhythmia and you fall down and you bump your head on the corner of the table and you die. Happens all the time.
Happens all the time. What can we do? We just have to move on, right?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I think maybe pad the corners and edges of your coffee tables and desks. That's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah, bumpers.
Just like the kids. Yeah, you know, and the children who don't go to bullet avoidance class, you know, it's their fault.
I mean, that black guy, if he hadn't been wearing those damned headphones, he probably would have seen that little tiny red dot on his chest.
All right. Two things. Number one, they have nothing to do with each other. But that, I lost my shit when you mentioned that with the headphones and the gaming. I'm like, oh, yeah. Because that level of gaming, of course you have. You have headphones and a microphone because you're dealing with other people and you're talking shit while you're playing. Who doesn't know that?
Right. And you're also, in this instance, you're in a big open room where there are a shit ton of other people playing the same game. So you want to make sure that you're hearing the auditory cues from your game.
Because you're playing for money.
You are playing. Yeah, hell, the prize for the winner in this one was like five large.
See? Plus, it's like we're in the pool. It's not
And the thing winds up in Vegas, and the purse there is 125 large for the one who wins. For playing a football video game.
Well. Oh, now I have two things. Two little short topics. I'll start with the video game. I'm telling you, man. I'm so glad that they were not this good when I was younger. Now, maybe you played this. I don't know. I'm not that new, but I'm getting better at it. But this Real Racing 3 is unbelievable. The graphics and it's real.
You know what I'm waiting. You know what I'm waiting for.
What?
And I think it comes out soon. Is Fallout. Because this is going to be the first Fallout that you can multiplay online with other players. And, as an extra bonus, it's set in West Virginia. I mean, I've seen screen grabs of it. There are parts of it that I could drive you to.
No, is it a zombie game?
It's a post-nuclear holocaust kind of... futuristic, okay. Yeah. First person shooter, kill everybody in sight.
That'll work in West Virginia, man. You can hide in the hollers, you know. You can do. You can see where that smoke settles. You hadn't lived, you've been through the hollers, and you see that somebody smoking, and it's like, wow, that's a holler because it's like a cloud over that property. You know,
the smoke will trail. See, I'll know we're getting toward autumn. When I get the first whiff of, I prefer it to be like hardwood smoke in somebody's fireplace. Then I'll know autumn's coming. But it'll probably be the first chilly night that I get damn near suffocated by coal smoke by my Confederate flag flying next door neighbors.
I thought you had cured him of that.
Mm-mm. Neither one have they been cured of. No.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Sometimes they get bored and they take their Freedom Protector out and they run a couple of hundred rounds through it and, you know.
I don't even know what to say about that. I have a question because I'm hoping you can answer this.
I'll try to. Let me make something clear.
We're not done with the video game.
Okay. No. Just let me make something clear real quick. I did not run out and buy a gun. There might be some confusion on that. I was just describing
what... What are you talking about?
You know, when I was talking earlier about how easy it is to get a gun with a laser sight on it. You know, you walk in, you plunk the money down, you walk out, you can load. I did not buy a gun.
Well, yeah. Well, anybody who knows you, you know, nobody's thinking about that. Oh man, I'm this past week though. Let me tell you, a week, and you brought it up last time I talked with you. I guess last week, last Sunday's Washington Journal question was the state of race relations in Washington. A week ago Sunday, you know, a week ago yesterday. That's a classic program. Today was classic also, but. You know, I'm just not – it's not just – you know, we understand that Trump is a mentally ill fascist and he's not going to get any better. He's just going to get worse and he's just losing it by the second now, which is quite predictable. But these people are delusional that follow – I don't understand the thought process. I really – it's not even about politics anymore. It's just ridiculous. These people are – they need to go somewhere. They shouldn't be allowed to walk around with the normal folks. And I'm really not even funny at all, because they're dangerous.
I agree. I mean,
does that make me a bad person?
No, I mean it's like it's like the clip I played toward the top of the program of the anonymous white lady at the convenience store.
Oh, Scott was hilarious. That was hilarious. You know, the departure greeting. Well, not stupid departure greeting, but the departure statement.
You know, I think maybe we need to revisit it.
Do it again.
Fucking Allah. Allah. You fucking Muslims.
Yeah, you got problems, lady.
At least dude spoke up.
He spoke up. He's like, you got problems. Yo, that was guttural, man. She sounded like she was a street corner thug, man.
No, she did. That's a Neckius Redica. Neckia Redica.
I forgot about that. Oh my God! Yeah, see, I'm you know what, and I really that the theory that you have, that, well, I guess it's not a theory anymore. These folks, and this is all, cause when you listen to these people, I hate to say that these people. When you listen to a lot of the maggots that call in, I say the Washington Journal, or just in general, when you read the comments on the paper and this and that, they're so incorrigible. They're so far gone until reason doesn't even get in. And when you drill down, you really let them talk. It's all, they're just scared because America, they know America's being brown by the second, and they know that there are going to be more brown people than quote unquote white folk.
Well, but Todd, it's not just that. It's the assumptions they make about the brown people.
Well, that's what I'm getting to.
You know, they're just poor and they're going to live on welfare.
First of all, those folks have better health care in Central and Mexico, in Central America and Mexico than we do. So they're coming to get disease from us.
Next thing you know, they're going to be wanting to join our country clubs. See, they're worried. What I'm getting at is they're not just worried about poor folks. They're worried about anybody that might be upwardly mobile, too. I mean, I don't mean to be telling tales out of school on Sister Carol Baker, but she related a story on Facebook the other day that was just breathtaking about getting a call at her place of employment by somebody who said, well, you know, I know somebody who's willing to hire your company if you'll show papers on everybody who works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And bless her heart, Carol got all patriotic and said, fuck off.
Yeah. No.
But, well, you know, they weren't asking that about white people. They were just making assumptions about people who, you know, who were Latino.
Well, the whole thing is preposterous, because if you think about it, I mean, anybody who's Mexican and Indian, they were really here first anyway. They've been coming back and forth, up and down, going north to south since before you and I, our people were here. So, you know, the whole thing is stupid. But and the wall is stupid. You know, when I was in San Diego, and I was in, like, you know, I thought it was going to be nice. It wasn't a real, you know, working class type place. It was by the beach, what I could afford. So, you know, what we call ghetto is not ghetto out there. It's just nice. Tunnels everywhere. Like, they have all these factories near Tijuana, right? And that abuts San Diego County, okay? And when you see it up close, it's like, oh my God, this is.
Oh, right. I saw another tunnel story this weekend, or in the last 3-4 days. Yeah, only this one was in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're amazing.
They're amazing. Can you imagine if you had that tunnel?
Let's understand, that's not for purposes of smuggling human beings into the United States. That's for purposes of bringing drugs into the United States, which means that it's a direct and proximate result, foreseeable in its entirety, of our drug prohibition.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's a whole other subject because, look, there's a reason they don't want to do away with prohibition, because they're making too much money on it illegal now. I mean, this we just have to face facts. That's what this is about. You know, obviously you got people who have substance abuse problems who want to use substances that just knock you out forever. That's not, how fun can that be? You know, you got problems in your life if you want to be that high and something going on with you.
Yeah, if you just want to sit around and stare at your shoe tops, you know.
I mean,
but then again, anybody who wants to question that sort of thing, I'll just refer them to William S. Burroughs's Naked Lunch and Have Done.
That's it.
In which he, you know, so, I mean, God knows it's a trippy flight of fantasy, but within it is contained what's called the algebra of need. And once you comprehend the algebra of need, game over. I mean, Jesus Christ. Now this is a separate story, but it has some relevance. So my congressman has decided to quit being a congressman because he's been appointed to the West Virginia Supreme Court, because for the first time in the entire history of the entire nation, a state legislature has impeached and removed from office has impeached the entire Supreme Court. Okay?
I read that. I did not understand that, though.
It's a goddamn coup.
How the fuck can that
because
happen?
Because there was... We in West Virginia now have nonpartisan election of Supreme Court justices. We used to have Democrats versus Republicans, just like every other office. But we've moved to nonpartisan, but still the majority, there was a Democratic majority on the Supreme Court, so the Republican majority House of Delegates impeached a lot of them, and you know, over things that were indefensible. Some of them had gone absolutely ass wild, spending.
They were using credit cards and stuff.
There was a $30,000 blue suede sofa, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Okay. But the Republicans used that as a means of a coup. So what they did is two of the justices were gotten rid of. So Jim Justice, the Republican, said, "We need a conservative court," and replaced the two gone Democratic Supreme Court justices with a pair of Republican hacks, namely my congressman, who lost in his bid to challenge Joe Manchin this fall, lost to Patrick Pillpusher Morrissey. And so he and another Republican from the House of Delegates have been installed in the Supreme Court to protect Jim Justice from a bunch of nasty shit coming his way through the judicial system.
So now they're using the Supreme. They're using these appointments now as the political tools to keep out their enemies.
Right, and to get back at their enemies, and to protect those that they deem to need protecting. And the reason I mention all of that is that one of the guys
crazy. That you can't function like that. That's fucked up.
Well, we're going to find out. God damn it. But one of the people who is going on to the court is Evan Jenkins, my former congressman now.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran an ad back when he was running in the Republican primary for Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Against Don Blankenship and Patrick Morrissey. Todd, he ran an ad that accused black people in Detroit of causing the opioid crisis in West Virginia. Yeah, them black people come down here and make good white people take dope.
Oh, boy.
And now that fucker is going to sit on the Supreme Court of Appeals of West Virginia. And he'll run for his own term, I guess, I don't know, in November. Something like that. Or maybe not till 2020. Who knows?
So how many officials...
And here's the fun part. West Virginia Supreme Court justices serve for a 12-year term.
Oh, boy. Well, how many do you have now?
We've got all five because two of them are challenging their impeachment, and they'll be put on trial in the West Virginia State Senate in September.
I don't think they're going to win. It looks bad. I mean, I don't know, but it doesn't look good. Like that.
Well, there's a maggot majority in the Senate.
Yeah, no, that's a done deal then.
But the question is, does it have to be a 2/3 majority, or does it have to be a simple majority?
Well, you know what? Whoever is the parliamentarian is going to be getting a workout. You know, you got to really know the rules and you get stuff done. Like, you know what I'm saying, right?
Well, no, they're just going to make it up as they go along. They've never done this before.
You're not serious. I mean,
I am. They made the impeachment part up as they went along. Now they're going to make the trial up as they go along. There are some basic constitutional provisions, but, you know, no, the anywhere that's gray, the tie will go to the Republican Party.
Oh, my God. So this is truly uncharted territory.
Yeah, it is. And it's not, you know, the New York Times has written briefly about it, but it's not getting nearly the coverage that it deserves.
I hadn't seen Hide Your Hair since I remember. There was shock when I was like, "Wow, the whole Supreme Court for West Virginia is being impeached."
Yeah,
this was like two weeks ago, right when you were in I don't know.
Yeah,
because so that, you know what, it dovetails into that question I wanted to ask. I don't remember seeing commercial sports United States Supreme Court justices ever.
There were some for Gorsuch.
Okay, I didn't see that.
They run every morning on Morning Joe, and they got that one woman who says, "I'm not a Republican. I'm just a teacher, and I think the sun shines right out of Brett Kavanaugh's rosy little asshole. I just think he's wonderful, and he's a family man. He goes to church and everything. So we need Brett Kavanaugh on our court." You know, it doesn't say anything about the bizarre baseball ticket business or the fact that he's been a shameless flack for the Federalist Society, or that he may have been engaged in any number of slimy, skeevy, filthy, dirty things in the W administration. Now, I'm not a Republican, and then there's have you seen the one with the young black woman?
No.
Why, I'm young and black, and I'm a Democrat, and I want Brett Kavanaugh to be a Supreme Court justice, because he never called me that word, not once.
Oh, please.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you get the idea.
I wouldn't put it past you. This is not good at all.
I never caught him going down to the quarters late at night with a bottle of hooch. No,
the quarters. Oh man, look, we got to do better than this. This is don't know, but they, you know, Trump is, they said, I don't know, I had the radio 1 minute ago, and they said Trump is losing his shit, like, by the second right now. So, who knows? I don't know what's going to happen, man. It's, our whole country's fractured, man. It's going to take a long, no matter what happens, it's going to take a long time to recover from this, because I'm just, look, these people are stuck in ignorance. It's one thing to be ignorant, but to be ignorant and have no desire to better yourself.
Oh, by the way, and we're out of time, but I got to put one little tidy little bow on the whole West Virginia Supreme Court story.
Mm-hmm.
Now that there's a Republican majority on the Supreme Court, this week they will hear the case brought by Don Blankenship, in which his lawyers argue that he should be on the November ballot running for Senate.
What?
Challenging the sore loser law in West Virginia.
Blankenship? Oh, hell no.
But wait a minute.
Fuck that.
The reason those Republicans had to be put on the bench was to stop that, so that he wouldn't split the Morrissey vote, so that Morrissey would have a chance of beating Joe Manchin. This is just dirty all the way through. I mean, I don't know why it's surprising, but it is. But it is probably the great underreported story in this country right now. The entire Supreme Court of a state has been disassembled via a Republican coup.
What happens to all the cases that you're supposed to hear, and the order of these cases, and the priority?
Well, they're going to hear them. They're just going to hear them with nice, new, conservative, dirty justices who will do the bidding of whoever the money is in each and every case. Widow, orphan, coal company win. Now, Armistead and Evan Jenkins haven't been anywhere near a courtroom in years. They wouldn't know a motion in limine from a motion of the bowels.
Oh God! Oh boy!
It's disgusting.
I feel sorry for you guys. I'm so sorry.
Well, I mean, it's something. It really is.
Well, we got to get this last $50 in.
Well, actually, it's 30.
Overnight.
It's 30, but we got 30 to get in. Will in Chicago jumped in. Thank you, Will.
Oh, Will, I'm glad you got a job. Well, I know you were looking for your teaching position. Maybe you had to move on, but I remember Will.
Yeah. Will's got a new teaching job.
Yeah.
And Will jumped in, so we only got $30 to go, which would be
all
nice.
Right.
I mean, because I don't want to be talking about this tomorrow night. $30.
No. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you're trying to take care of business, you know?
Well, I just want to enjoy not talking about it for a few days. Know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And, anyway, once again, I know Mr. Miller is happy, and I know he's tap dancing.
Well, you know what? Maybe come Friday you can try that and see if we can get you into Friday on the front porch.
That would be great. That would be great. Thanks, Bob.
Did you write that number down?
I didn't, but you read my mind. You read my mind, because I have a pen right in my hand.
Yeah, 304-640-2829.
304-640-2829.
That's the one.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, hopefully it'll work. I mean, like I said, we tested the daylights out of it. All right, Todd, you have a good evening, my friend.
You too.
Later now.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. That's our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. So that's it. That's Moran Monday, and by God, there were more Morans than you can shake a stick at. And Titanic Tuesday will be here in 21 hours. So hopefully somebody on the overnight crew will knock down that last $30, and then we'll be done. And we will have a rollicking good Titanic Tuesday, prayer meeting Wednesday. The deacons are looking forward to having the night off. And just move into the end of the week. So thanks, everybody. Thank you so very, very much indeed. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.Live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.